Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Bobby Moore as a Jeff Hurst, the Trevor Brooking and Billy Bush, Paolo Di Canio, West Ham United, more than just a podcast.
Good evening, good morning, or good afternoon. This is More Than Just a Podcast.
Yeehaw, podcast.
It is season 7, episode 42, 43 actually. We're back for a transfer update, probably a quick one today. Back with me is Nigel. Good evening, Nigel. Where are you and what are you doing?
I'm in my shed.
And a new presenter tonight, a guest presenter. No, it's not Ian. No, it's not Gonzo. All the way from the United States of America, it is David Holdsink. Good evening, David. What are you doing and what is your real name?
Well, it's David Holdsink. The day that you pronounce it properly will be a day that I almost fear for your health.
And where are you talking to us from?
I wish I could say I'm in me shed because I've always wanted a shed. I'm just in me office.
And where's your office?
In upstate New York, in the middle of the country. I'm a member of the landed gentry.
Kapitsky.
Okay.
Or whatever it's called.
Whatever, whatever. Anyway, good news, guys. We have signed our 6th and 7th transfer the window. If you've been following my Twitter, you'll know that we've spent over £108 million in transfer fees over the next few years.
You're not on a camp for a living, are you, Sean?
Colossal wages. Another £121 million committed in wages over the next 5 years. So it is. This is another level, really another level. David, you're the guest. Let's talk about this summer and what you think. We talk through the signings, but particularly talk about the last two in the Corinthians chap, who I can't pronounce his name, and Philippe Anderson.
Balbuena.
We've got to practice that. Balbuena.
Balbuena. Try again.
Balbuena.
Never mind. Forget it. Just give it up. It's not going to happen. It's a good summer in a vacuum. That's for sure. It still begs the question, why has it taken so long to do what you said you were going to do and the rationalizations you gave for leaving Upton Park to go to the Athletic Stadium? But I my theory on that is that they've never had a manager sitting next to them at the table who has the pedigree and the reputation to say, you're going to do this. I don't care what you said you were going to do this, and you're just going to do it. So the players signed seem to be more of a out of a plan than just a haphazard attempt at playing FIFA. So I really couldn't criticize any of them. And I don't care how much money is spent because it isn't my money. So if we overspent here or there, fine. You know, you've kind of put yourself into a corner to have to do that, Mr. Sullivan. So now the chickens have come home to roost. But, you know, well done.
Let me just play a little bit as devil's advocate.
You?
We've got...
No.
Yeah. Ryan Fredericks, a championship player, never played in the Premier League. We've got Issa Diop, who played in French League One for Toulouse, never played in the Premier League. We've got Philippe Anderson, who has only got one cap for Brazil. We've paid a record amount for him, £46 million. He's never played in the Premier League either. And also, by the way, there was no competition for his signature. There's been no competition, really, for any of these signatures, really, apart from Fulham, who wanted to keep on to Ryan Fredericks. We've got some Brazilian... he's not. He's Paraguayan from Corinthians. Again, no one really knows anything about him. We've all seen the YouTube clips. But all of these, apart from Fabianski, who we know... Right, we don't really know very much about any of these players whatsoever. I wrote a blog saying in Pellegrini we trust. Oh, Jack Wilshere, yeah. But the guy, all right, I forgot about that. And also a gamble. Can he stay fit? Will he be played in position? So the only one that's really not a gamble is Fabianski. I want to know what you think about that, Dave.
Well, going over them, not in the order you said it. Fredericks from the championship. Well, how many times have we heard, you know, pundits and supporters alike saying, you know, we should go after English players from the higher levels of the championship because that's where we can get good value for money, like we did with Cresswell. So
and Hugo
and Hugo, you know, I don't know who signed him, and quite truthfully, I don't know how good or bad he is. I've never seen the kid play, so whatever. I don't know what to say about
it. I'm making the point that it can be good as well as bad.
Any transfer can be good. Every transfer is a risk to some degree. Do you think Manchester United, oh so many years ago, thought that Varane was going to be a complete bust? I mean, look, they gave up Paul Pogba for free, only to have to rebuy him for $100 million later. It is a gamble. It all is. It's investing. It's like buying in the stock market. You know, Jack Wilshere, you say injury. Well, he participated. He took part in, I think, in 38 games last year for Arsenal. And he took part in 28 or 29 for Bournemouth the year before. And by his own admission, he seems to have learned a little bit about himself. Meaning, in the past, this is what he said, he would simply bomb forward at any moment. And that, you know, puts you in a position of a lot of contact injuries, which is a lot of what he had, or muscle injuries because you're just moving around so quickly. He seems to have said, hey, you know what, if I take a step back, look around, I might be able to get a pass off instead of trying to run forward, save my body, and still accomplish the same thing. The fact that nobody else was in for Philippe Anderson, I think, is a convenient way to downplay the transfer in that Pellegrini said he wanted him. I think Pellegrini probably knows more about picking a midfielder than any of us. And they still have to be able to offer a transfer that Lazio wanted to accept. Now, some people, you included, say that Lazio are in financial difficulty and have to sell. I don't know if that's true or that's not true. Maybe there some people say that for their own reasons. But you still have to pay a fee and offer a deal that will make the player move, that will have the team accept it and the player accept the personal terms. Fabian,
let me just do the just tell me what the I'll just let you know what the finances are, because it's a good link there. So we paid £36 million for Anderson, with another £5 million or £5.5 million on top for add-ons. The agents got £4.5 million. Shows you what happens in one of these big deals. The player itself, we thought he was on £85 grand a week, but no, he's on £105,000 basic, and he's got both appearance money on top of that and bonuses, etc., that could take him up to £140 grand a week. It's massive. He's on the same deal as Arnautovic. He's on the same deal as Chicharito. Both of them on the same money. Our top now wage structure, £105 a week with bonuses. And by the way, it doesn't end there. Yamalenko is also on $100,000 a week, and so is Jack Wilshere as well, also on $100,000 a week. It's silly money, silly money.
Is it silly money, or is that just what the market will bear now? I mean, that's what the going wages are to get players to come now. That's what you have to do. If not, you're gambling on lower level players on lower wages. It's a gamble regardless. And how much money is each place in the Premier League worth? Was it £2 million?
£2 million.
Okay, £2 million. So if you think this higher quality player is worth three places in on the table, well, there's £6 million. That's a pretty decent number of the wages already. You have to spend money to make
money.
We
shall see.
You can't.
I want to bring in Nigel because I know he's been patiently wanting to have a go at me about probably adding up the wages and agents' fees and sign-on fees. Nigel, what's your view of the recent? We've talked about the other signings, the last two signings over the weekend. I mean, it's a Monday today, and we haven't signed another player, so I was a bit upset today.
Where do I start?
Put a negative spin on it. Well, go on. It's not negative. I dare you.
Listen, what you got to remember is this is a one-hit wonder. People I've seen today debating where did we get the money from? What happened to financial fair play? Was it the fans rioting that caused it? Was it the two? I've even seen the two Americans mentioned, Tripp Smith and Paul Allen.
Yeah, I know. All the conspiracy theory.
All this stuff. Where the truth is, we know for a fact that they didn't really like Bilic even when they appointed him. He was fourth choice.
No.
It was said after his first season, I think it was after his first season, they said to you, or it was said by a source, that they still weren't 100% convinced with him. They kept after the purse strings. He'd done well in his first season, but you could see that the signings weren't great, whoever made them in the first season at the Olympic Stadium. So they lost confidence there, got rid of him in the end. They didn't let him spend the money, didn't sign the players he wanted, got rid of him in the end. Obviously, the deal was done with Pellegrini, we now know, as Moyes was appointed. So Moyes was never going to be given money. They cashed in. They made profit with Payet. They made profit getting rid of, well, they didn't make profit with AU, but they recouped money. They made profit in the transfer window, net spend. So they've saved that up. So if you look, if they hadn't have saved that money up, but if they'd have spent it on whoever, and they'd have only had about 50 million to spend net this season. So that's where all the extra money's gone. It's a one-hit wonder, though, because what you've got to remember is, because now they've spent all the money, they haven't got any money saved up. So come January, come next summer, if Pellegrini wants to go again, we've got to have a really good season. We've got to win a lot of money in prize money to actually be able to afford to give him. Or, of course, the owners have got to stump up the money, their own money. Which, I suppose, if we do have an half-decent season, I'd imagine they probably would take the gamble again. But it's a continuous. If you look at Man City, in a way, the team we're aspiring to be like, to do a Man City, they went into their stadium. They didn't start doing anything till the Arabs turned up. They just plodded along in the city of Manchester Stadium, as it was. The Arabs turned up. It took them 3 or 4 years to hit the top four, where they were paying top dollar. The first day they spent 30 million on a player, the first day.
Rubinho.
And that was 10 years ago, yeah. They had to do that time and time again before they got it right and got into the top four. So, I don't get excited anyway, because...
I know you don't.
I am a West Ham fan, and I've sort of seen it before. Perhaps not to this scale and this quality, but, we've paid £36 million for a player who's not an international.
That's right.
Why?
Well, because we trust Pellegrini. Just before we come back to it, I'm just going to correct some or look at some myths that's out there at the moment. You mentioned, where's the money coming from? So West Ham are about to pay off their overdraft. They borrowed 20, £5 million in an overdraft. That's in the figures in the accounts. They paid off 10 early. They're paying £15 million off this month in July when they get the Premier League payment. They're about to borrow a new overdraft because they renew it every August, £45 million. Because we haven't got assets anymore, we don't own a stadium, and our training ground and other things are not worth that much. Both David Gold and David Sullivan are personally guaranteeing the overdraft.
This is perfect spin by you. Because when you say they're guaranteeing the overdraft, let's get it right. West Ham will always pay that money back. West Ham Football Club will
generate the income. I agree, but in the way banks work, you've got to personally guarantee it in the same way.
You make it sound like they're physically putting up £45 million.
No, they're not. No, of course they're not. They're putting up the risk of £45 million if West Ham went bust. That's all they're doing. You're right.
But it won't go bust.
No, agreed. But they're still personally guaranteeing it.
Oh, all right.
But I think what Nigel...
Anyway,
you're playing with words again.
You don't canonize them for doing something that, A, really puts them at no financial risk, no realistic financial risk, and B, could actually give them a huge windfall benefit. They'd be crazy not to personally guarantee it.
All right. Well, let's move on from that. I was just stating a fact. you can interpret it which way you want. Now, what people seem to forget, they get obsessed about... And I was having this conversation earlier with John on our WhatsApp group. People seem to get obsessed about transfer money. And I've never seen the point of this, because transfers are paid over a period of years, usually the period of the contract. So you never pay, even though I said it's 108 million, we're not going to pay that. We're going to pay around 30 million over the summer up front. So literally, the easiest way to do this, look at the transfer fee, divide it by the number of years of contract, and we pay that in installments. That's the way it usually works. Sometimes you have to pay 50% up front and the rest over the next 2 years. Anyway, we're going to have to find about 30 million. We don't have to borrow that all at the same time. The overdraft means that we pay, for the whole 45 million, we pay about 1%. And we pay 7% of any money we draw down. If we've got the money in the bank, we use that first instead of borrowing it. But people seem to be obsessed about transfers and saying, well, we got 22 million from Payet and we didn't spend it. Well, we never got that money. Let me just tell you about Payet. Payet, we were still owed money when we bought him for 10 million. We still owed money to Marseille when we sold him back. And guess what? They still owe us money now. So they wiped out the rest of the money we owed them. Yeah. Then they paid it. They're paying it over 3 years. So they've got another 2 years to go. So it's all swings and roundabouts. It's never really you sell a player for 20 million, you get it in the bank account. You're often still paying for other players that you signed in the last 3 to 5 years.
But you're also
years.
Then receiving money for players you've sold.
You are, but it gets very complex. And this is why I like to include.
Complex,
and I get shouted.
We sell crap players for crap money.
Yeah.
That's true.
So... Yeah.
But we also,
that great from...
I like to include, and I get shouted down about this, I like to include the agent fees because that's real money. And I like to include the signing on bonuses because Wilshire and Fredericks cost money. And I like to see what wages we're going to pay.
But why do
so
you
I said
that
earlier,
then?
Because when you make an investment, right, in business, you look at total cost of ownership, how much it will cost you to own an asset. Now, these players are assets. And therefore, if they go all the way through... You look at their transfer fee and their running costs. I know that's sounding like a car, but that's the total cost of ownership. So potentially, West Ham are investing £229 million over the next 5 years in these seven players. Now, granted, they could be sold early. But at the moment, they're investing up to, and I'll say up to, £229 million in these seven players. And we should look at that and say, that is a phenomenal amount of money and completely different to what West Ham's done before.
You say that, but that's what every football club does, Sean. It's only people use figures like that. You inflate the figures. Why do you inflate these figures?
Not inflating them. That's the true amount of figures.
Not inflating them. Perhaps wrong choice of word. Why do you like to incorporate? Why do you have to swell it up? Why?
It's not swelling up. It's total cost of ownership.
Right, but all right, so when I sit around with my football mates, I don't go, did you know that the total cost of ownership of owning Paolo Di Canio was something like £6 million?
All right.
You know?
I'm saying that maybe the whole system's flawed. Why don't we just talk about what money we're paying?
What you're alluding to is the transfer fee and the wages.
All right, well, let's just talk about, all right, we spent 30 million.
Which is point, yeah? And that so predetermines that they then leave the club for nothing.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. The chances are a player ain't going to leave the club for nothing.
Look, I'm just saying, and maybe I'm making a poor point, but I'm saying looking just at transfer fees is also meaningless. It's out of context. The transfer fees, we're only going to pay, even though we've committed 108 million, we're only going to pay a 30 million up front. Half of them could be sold next year. So what does it mean that we spent over 100 million? You might as well count the 229 million. But let me move on to another point, because I know I'm never going to win an argument with you two over this. I think you are right, Nigel. They have been saving their money for Pellegrini and investing in him. And I think there was a point of principle with Anderson that he said, deliver me and prove to me you can deliver. And just to go back to the extra point, and I'll come back to you, the whole thing about this Tripp Smith putting in money, Tripp Smith put in, I think, £10 million interest-free that only gets paid back when the club sold. He hasn't put any more money. And the ludicrous rumour going around, and I tried to correct this on Twitter, that there's been a secret deal to buy the club, but they're not going to announce anything for 2 years, is laughable. No, they haven't been taken over and they're keeping it quiet for 2 years. That's ridiculous. The two owners still own the club. Tripp Smith still owns 10%. He hasn't put any extra money in. The extra money is coming from the overdraft to pay it. And who knows what they're doing next year and the year afterwards. We'll have to find the money then and we'll see how we go.
Well, they can't know, can they? Because at the end of the day, the only way to for West Ham to make more money at this moment in time is by finishing higher in the Premier League, going further in the Cups, or putting ticket prices up. Now, at the moment, they haven't really put the ticket prices up. So, which realistically is not going to bring in transfer fee wages.
Hardly any at all.
So the next step is they need to start finishing higher in the table to increase. Now, where did we finish last season? 13th?
Yeah, got us 116 million, so by the way, in TV money.
Realistically, we've got to finish 9th or above this season. 9th or above. And then you buy some more better players. But what you've got to remember is next season, we shouldn't need to buy 7. We should only need to buy 2. But the quality, so you'd spend 50 million on 2 players and you'll get better quality. And then
they've never built a foundation. And this seems to be the first time they've done. They've built a foundation and now you can start building a real house around.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
This football club's been built on quicksand for years. And that's the problem.
What, the one last thing I didn't cover off is financial fair play. And I've written an article on Clarendon Hughes today, and you can read it. I try and put it in layman's terms. But financial fair play changed in 2016. You now get to spend what you spent last year, as a benchmark, plus 7 million, plus whatever you've made in revenue. In reality, our wage bill was 105 million last year, plus 7 million. So that takes it to 112. And we made a lot of money, another 10 million from the moving to the stadium. So it's about 122. Even with these great big wage bills that come in on, remember we're paying Joe Hart quite a lot of money, financial fair play really doesn't affect us anymore, which is why you never hear about it. You know, suddenly no one talks about financial fair play. I know our owners did used to talk about it, but it was a lot more stringent before 2016. And if you want to know a bit more about it, go to Clarendon Hughes. I've written an article about it and it will explain it. But that's why we haven't gone over the limit. We're not breaking financial fair play. We're well within the limits.
Thanks.
Are we okay? Anything else on transfers? Or can we look at the season ahead and talk about where we might finish in the Premier League?
I think Balbuena is going to be the surprise of all of them. Yeah.
Do you? He's the cheapest one. £3.6 million in a release fee and about 30 grand a week.
He's beastly from what I've seen in the box.
Yeah. And he's their captain, isn't he? He looks good.
I don't know if he's going to about watching players on videos. No one's ever made a YouTube video of a player's mistakes. and put it on there.
What, even Mark Boogers?
Well, Marco Boogers made, what, 3 mistakes. He was only on the pitch 3 times, West Ham.
Well, getting him was the first mistake, so. Mistake.
Yeah, even Roger Johnson looked good, didn't he, on video?
That's what I'm saying. So, it's, you know, no one has made a video of Anderson's worst crosses.
Or where
he's run down a blind alley with the ball.
A friend of mine who watches a lot of South American football, mostly Argentine, but he watches the Brazilian league too. He said he's a good player. So,
yeah, but he's a good player in Brazil. You know, you said it yourself. Juan Sebastian Verón comes over here and looks ordinary.
Yeah, well, he was worse than ordinary. So, terrible.
Anyway, I want to move on from transfers. I'm told, by the way, that's it. All of our, you might be upset. Bernard isn't coming. His agent was only in the London Stadium because he was part of the Anderson deal. Payet is not coming. We've done our dough now, right? There are no more major signings. Backup striker, yes, which tells you that Hugo is probably going out on loan or sold. Hernandez is staying. Antonio probably will go if Palace meet the valuation, but I don't think we're going to see any other major players go out. Maybe some fringe players, maybe some of the academy people go out on loan, and we might see the odd cheap loan come in, a cheap loan and fringe player, but it won't be big wages.
If we thin the squad out now?
Well, some people might be upset to lose Antonio. I think that's the only one people be upset.
But if we lose Antonio, we've replaced him with Yamalenko.
Yeah. I think he's going to be good, by the way. I think Yamalenko is going to be. Yeah, I think so.
See, for me, I find that strange. In this day and age, unless Antonio is desperate to leave the club, for me, replacing an English player.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With a Ukrainian, especially after the World Cup, where we've seen if we want England to do better, we need English players playing.
I'm worried about his hamstring injury.
Did you watch him?
I'm worried about his hamstring.
Did you watch? Yeah, yeah. Did you see a Yamalenko play against? Well, not a lot of people did, except it was highlights because the stream didn't work.
No, I was watching England.
Yeah, not me.
No. I'm a patriot.
Did you watch the highlights of High Wycombe? Wycombe Wanderers.
Pre-season means nothing. They can have a shit pre-season. I think in 85-86 we had a terrible pre-season and we finished third. Got relegated under Avram Grant by winning every pre-season game going. Means nothing. It's just a
way to play. Diop had a bit of a mare clearance, but you're right. It means nothing. It was and quite a few missing. So we've still got Hernandez and Fabianski away. They've got another week off. They're back next Monday from international duty. Wilshere's not match fit because he's a week behind everyone else. Cresswell's got a groin injury, should be back this week. Frederick's also had a sore foot, also out. And obviously Antonio's not back as well. And obviously we've got
Arnautović
back. And Arnautović's back.
He's been away, isn't he?
he popped out to Italy on his day off on a Sunday, but he was back and he went to training this morning at Rush Green, so there's not a problem, is there?
Panic over.
Yeah, Andy Carroll obviously needs a knee operation. He's going to be out for 4 months. I know the
ankle operation.
They said minimum three, but I've ankle operation after that
balcony hopping thing they do. Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's rubbish. I can't believe people were believing that he. They were saying allegedly he went out of the curfew, got drunk, and was climbing up to his balcony. I can tell you, I've spoken to the club. And they laughed and laughed their heads off. There is no truth whatsoever about balcony
just
hopping.
Just one thing, not to cast aspersions, but if it was true, do you think the club would admit it?
I would know if it was true. They wouldn't be able to keep something like that quiet. Obviously, Winston Reid out for 3 to 9 months with a knee operation, which he hasn't recovered from. But some people are philosophical about it and say, do you know what? I'd written both of these off already. You know, Winston Reid hasn't been a great centre-back for a long time. Terrible to say, but we've sort of written him off. And Andy Carroll, well, people were more surprised if he wasn't injured at the start of the season. So it is what it is, guys, isn't it? It's annoying, but we never really had any of those two in the first team from day one under Pellegrini, did we?
If you went into the season thinking, or not expecting something like this to happen to Andy Carroll, then you're the kind of person who buys a lottery ticket and genuinely gets upset when you don't win. Like, oh, I looked at the numbers. I didn't win. Oh, I had that money spent. I can't believe it. I have to cancel the yacht.
Anyway, let's talk about positives. Let's talk about the season ahead, because we're not too far away from August when we play Liverpool on the Sunday, the 12th, I think it is. And you're coming over, Dave, I know, for what match is it?
In September for the Wolves match for work, and then I'm coming over for Watford in December with the family.
Okay, so here's the question. Obviously, I did a Claren Hugh poll today.
You did?
I asked the question.
No.
I did a poll. I said West Ham invested over £100 million in 7 signings this summer. But where do you think they can finish in the Premier League this season? So before I give you the results, 2,821 voted. Dave, where do
I
you
voted.
Think we
you
can
did
finish
not.
This
not.
You did.
Really did.
Oh.
That's breaking news.
I see. I'll follow.
Okay, Dave, come on. Where do you think? Interesting.
Nigel. Where I think or where I voted?
Both.
You probably said first or relegated.
I voted champions because it was such a stupid poll. I thought, ask a stupid question, I'll give you a stupid answer. Even though I was shocked to find 99 other people voted champions.
Well, 102 now.
I know I was the 100.
So go on, where do you really think?
Well, I've already said I think they've got to finish ninth or above. The problem with the Premier League is if you look, I mean, we finished 13th, but look how many points away we were from ninth. 3 points from ninth. Yeah. I think, you know.
Well, 72% think we can finish in the top eight. So, yeah, some jokers, champions, 3.6%. Second to fourth, Champions League, 2%. Fifth to sixth percent position, 16%. A massive 50% think 7th or 8th, so most people think that. 22.8% is 9th or 10th, and then really 11th and 12th, 3%, 1% for 13th, 14th, 15th to 17th, 0.5%, and only 21 people, which is 0.7%, think we will be relegated, and I think they're having a laugh too, Nigel.
Yeah, I don't think we'll go down. I mean, I read today Roy Hodgson bemoaning the fact that he's been given no money and he's been told keep us up and that's all you got to do.
Aren't we the envy of lots of other Premier League?
The thing is, if you look at the clubs around us, look, we're competing with Everton, Leicester, Newcastle. They've not seemed to have done anything, have they?
No, their fans are going, look at West Ham. And I have people come up to me at work and go, cool, have you signed another one? Where are you getting the money from?
An award for the most improved team. in the Premier League, I think we'd be nailed on to win it. At the moment, without a ball being kicked, we've got to be looking good.
Yeah.
But I
it's hard to see.
To me, this is all down to Pellegrini.
Windows shut and everybody's bought everyone.
Dave.
I think this really is all still down to Pellegrini. Again, I wonder if in his deep inside his mansion beneath his gold lame comforter, he sits there and wonders, what have I done? Oh my God, I should have just kept a guy like Moyes, where I wouldn't have to spend all this money. I wonder.
They're really excited. Actually,
I don't think that. I think Pellegrini, you know, perhaps this has come from years of hearing what they've been saying about other managers, that the fact is Pellegrini is the manager they've been waiting for, or type of manager. I think if we'd have got Benitez, I reckon they'd have done this with Benitez a couple of years ago. Because when you are, you know, they played Benitez, and I think they would have spent money.
A manager
I do believe that. And I think the problem is they realised they were appointing lesser quality managers. So therefore, they didn't want to gamble too much. And what you've got to remember is West Ham is still financially not secure. And that the wrong move can tip them over the edge. So they went cautious. I'm not going to have a go at them for that, because I've always argued that the financial viability of the club is the main thing the owners have to make sure of.
Yeah. I'm excited. I know you're not getting excited, but I'm excited. And I tell you what, I was at the Supporters Advisory Board, and all the directors there, including Karen Brady, was very excited about, you know, this is next level, to want to use a word. This is part of the journey. And yeah, all right, I'll admit, without Burnley, maybe this wouldn't have happened in such a way. Maybe it would. I don't know. But who cares? Let's all get behind the team. Let's get behind Pellegrini and let him do the talking on the pitch next year.
I feel a bit more Moyes in a way, because this has only happened by staying up. Because there's no way Pellegrini would have come.
But Moyes was there to do a job, and we all know that Moyes' days were numbered before he was even hired.
Wait a minute. I don't think that's true.
You say that. If we'd have gone down, and sacked him.
But Sean, you said all along on all these podcasts that I listen to, if we stay up, we know it's going to be Moyes. We know he's going to stay. You were convinced as anybody.
Yeah, but I was wrong. I was sold a pup. I was sold a pup because I didn't know there was a secret handshake deal with Pellegrini back in November when bloody Slaven Bilic was still in charge. That's when the real deal was done. The real deal was done while Bilic was in his last days. Way before
David Moyes. A manager who has, as I said, the pedigree to tell them.
And I think he's got their measure, and I think he won't take any shit from them.
I think that was the Anderson thing. That's kind of what I meant before. In his dark room, I think Sullivan probably thought, all right, I'm not going to have to do the Anderson thing because it's getting too expensive. Even you said that Pellegrini, maybe this was the message you were given by the senior source at the club you refer to, that even Pellegrini is starting to see, well, Lazio's jerking us around. We're going to have to let it go. But that probably never happened, wasn't anywhere near the truth. And Pellegrini's message to Sullivan, which probably or might have taken Sullivan very much by surprise, was, I don't care. Oh, they're raising the price. They're changing the terms. I don't care. That's not my problem. That's your problem. You said you'd get him for me. So get him. Call me back when he's on his way in and we'll talk about something else. But before that, I don't want to hear anything else. I want him. You said you'd get him. Now get it done. Thank you very much. Good night.
Yeah. Yeah. I couldn't have said it better myself.
The thing about Pellegrini, though. Yeah. Now, I'm going to be negative Nigel, like normal, as some would believe.
Hey, welcome
back. We missed you.
Far away. The thing about Pellegrini is when he went to Man City, he won the title in his first season. But most of the players weren't his. Then they never won the title again. They won the FA Cup. he bought some strange players for Man City that never really paid off, I think. And, you know, they let him go. That's why they got rid of him. So, which looked harsh at the time, but, you know, I think he was three seasons at Man City, won the title in his first season, didn't in the second or third, and they were going backwards.
But if they didn't have a Guardiola to come in, do you think that still would have happened? I mean, he built up the largest point total, I think, that Real Madrid have ever had, and they would have won the title by, you know, by a gallop if Barcelona hadn't been superhuman that year.
Yeah, but you can do that with Real. What I'm saying is, he's dropped down a level. Yeah, forget China, but he's dropped down a level. So he's gone back to, like, when he was in Spain.
At Malaga.
Probably Malaga type. But Malaga were being funded, even though the funding got withdrawn. So actually, Malaga was funded by Arab money.
How about Villarreal?
And he hasn't got that here. This is, yeah. So it's in that situation now. How long ago since he was at Villarreal? 10 years ago.
But he made the Champions League quarterfinals or semifinals with both of those clubs.
It's not cut and dried. Yeah, but Villarreal had investment. It's not cut and dried, I think, his record for me. He's the best manager that they've ever appointed, but there's still he's never done it with a West Ham type team.
Okay. All right. Our last subject we're gonna move on, and then we're finishing for today because we're all at 40 minutes. I did another poll because a week ago, Newham Council, the new mayor of Newham, decided that the World Cup champion statue is not moving, going back on a promise made by Sir Robin Wales, West Ham fan extraordinaire from Scotland. I'm personally indifferent on this, but I did a poll with over 3,000. Believe it or not, it split exactly. Do you know what? There's only two votes difference, 50-50. 50% of people believe that Newham should follow it. We paid for 50% of the statue in 2009 or whenever it was, and think it should be moved to Stratford, where there's an empty plinth and planning permission waiting. The other 50% believe it should stay there. My concern is it needs to move anyway for a road junction, allegedly, that it won't be looked after, people won't visit it that much, and it will just get forgotten. But I have admitted, I never visited it when I walked past it when I was a season ticket holder, and I think I visited it once with my children to take a picture of it, and that was it once, probably in my lifetime. Nigel, I know we had a big row on whether it was in East Hammam or Upton Park, and no, I've conceded.
We didn't have a row about whether it was in East Ham. Well, yeah, we did have a row.
You said I was disingenuous.
No, I didn't say you were disingenuous. I said you were trying to gerrymander the vote, because let's face it,
Oh, that's what you said. You said I was gerrymandering.
It was pure coincidence that you went to an SAB meeting on Thursday and ran a poll on Sunday about the statue. When no...
Well, only because the statue came up at the SAB meeting and it sort of gave me the idea. Sometimes ideas come from that.
No one said anything to you, Karen Brady. No one. No.
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 Karen mentioned it, but she didn't ask me to run a poll and she didn't ask me to write an article. Just did it
out of the goodness of your heart.
It was spontaneous.
Yeah, that's a word. Let me write that down. Spontaneous. Yeah, you know, you use the word East Ham as if to say, well, it's not even in West Ham. You know, where, let's face it, 6 feet away from...
Well, West Ham's in East Ham.
Right, 6 feet away from the statue is West Ham. But it was Old Boroughs, So it was Old Borough West Ham, Old Borough East Ham. All finished in 65, created Newham. The statue is in Upton Park. For me, as a kid growing up, East Ham started past Catherine Road, for those that know it, just past the Central. That would be the start of East Ham. East Ham, mainly, if I was going East Ham shopping with my mum, was we'd get the bus up to where the Denmark Arms pub is and walk along the high street there. So I've never seen that as East Ham.
All right, but my point is, all three of us were not alive when Bobby Moore, Martin Peters, Jeff Hurst, and the other guy from Everton won the World Cup. That statue belongs to a different generation, which is, by the way, dying on the whole. You know, that a lot of them are passing away, and therefore it belongs. Well, I think it would be better looked after Stratford. I would never visit. By the way, I wouldn't visit it in Stratford myself in the same way I never go to Champions Place.
Do you go to Trafalgar Square to visit Nelson's Column? Right.
No, so never.
Statues are not there to be visited. They're there to mark, to place a mark to as an act of remembrance.
All right.
People can go there, people won't. The players played there. The statue, for me, belongs where it was put, because that's where it was put.
You think it should
always
stay there?
I've always said, though, that's the wrong statue.
I know you have. You've always been quite consistent, and I understand a replacement would cost millions and the club are not keen. I'm going to give the last word to Dave about the statue all the way out from New York State. What's your view from United States of America on whether a statue should be in Upton
As
Park
another out-of-towner. Come on, Dave, educate me.
It would be disingenuous, using Nigel's new favorite 25-pence word. My instinct is that Nigel's right. That's where that statue was born. That's where it was meant to commemorate what it was built for, and that's where it should stay. Again, I'm a New Yorker. I'm from the United States, and I'm claret and blue through and through, as you guys know, as nuts as it is and as horrifying as it's been for my wife and kids. But to move it would cheapen it and make it more of a very large trinket than leaving it. That's its home. That's where it belongs.
Let's face it, Sean. The club won it because they're embarrassed. They told everyone it was going to move it. They said that before they had permission. Permission was given with a caveat that a replacement monument that commemorated West Ham was put back in its place, paid for by West Ham. There was arguments over that.
Yeah.
They then create Champions Place, because they thought they were moving the statue. They sell stones for the bins to sit on that people paid for, and now they've got Champions Place with no champions. It's frankly embarrassing for the club.
All right. Well, I'm not going to deny anything. All I'm going to say is West Ham did offer a six-figure sum to Newham, and I will say it's all very political now.
Robin Wells had no right. He was in West Ham's pocket.
It's political, though. The new mayor, whatever her name is.
It was a joint thing. They needed him to facilitate, to push through the move. And he needed someone to go into the stadium because he was banking on getting money from it. Robin Wells is not there now through his ineptitude and his greed and his part. He's lost his mayorship for his part in way of pushing West Ham into that stadium. And the money that was...
Yeah. Anyway... we're going to leave it there. We're at 45 minutes. But we're going to say goodbye. Dave, thanks for being our guest on All the Just Podcast. What do you want to say before we... And Nigel, thanks for your argumentative tone as usual. We don't know when we'll be back, but it's goodbye from me, Sean. And it's goodbye from Dave.
Goodbye from America.
And goodbye from Nigel.
Adios.
Come on, you Irons. Bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.